ale ute.
Here is the 9 o'clock newsline. Trade Minister says potential transaction of 2025 New South Wales Expo will reach 161 billion rupiah. Kamerian Village in Banyuwangi included in the world's best tourism village network, and here is the news in detail. Indonesian Trade Minister Budi Santoso on Sunday, October the 19th in Banten said that 2025 New South Food Expo concluded with potential transactions of 161.16 billion rupiahs. The significant values generated from the potential for business matching transaction between exhibition participants and domestic and international buyers. The potential value of culinary memorandum of understanding expansion to international markets and direct sales transaction during the exhibition. The Osing Kabiran Traditional Tourism Village in Banyuwangi Regency East Java has been named part of the world's best tourist village upgrade program 2025 by the United Nations Tourism Organization. Banyuwangi Region Ipoh Festi and Dandi express pride in the international achievement achieved by the Osing Kabiran Traditional Tourism Village in Banyuwangi on Sunday. The designation of the Kabiran Traditional Tourism Village as the world's best tourism village network was carried out during the Best Tourism Villages by United Nations Tourism 2025 ceremony and the third annual network meeting in Huzhou, China on Friday, October the 17th. Listener, that was the newsline from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
RRA Digital with New Look. Various collaborative content from various national programs, including live visual broadcasts, live radio broadcasts, music playlists, podcasts, video news, and various users' interaction features in the game. Various interesting content such as likes, comments and shares, as well as live chat with broadcasters and users. Direct messaging and private chat facilities between app users are also available. RRE Digital. Available on Google Store and App Store. RRE Digital.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRE Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Sounds, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Radio was always Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. You're listening to the Voice of Indonesia on VONS.id and the application at RE Digital. Listener, the results of a poll tracking Indonesia survey indicated that the level of satisfaction with the performance of the administration or the government of President Prabowo Subianto and Gibran Raka Buming Raka in the past year is evenly distributed across all regions of Indonesia. But is this also get along with the economic development in the country? We already have Irfan Syawki Baig, the Dean of Economy and Management Faculty of IPB University. Good morning, Pak Irfan.
Yeah, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you very much, sir, for being able to join us today. So, sir, how is the Indonesian economic development for the past year, especially since the administration of President Prabowo?
Yeah. Actually, after Prabowo took the office of the president on October 2024, we see that in the first quarter of this year, the economic growth slowed down as indicated by the growth rate, which reached around 4.87%. But then it was corrected in the second quarter, which reached 5.12%. Although some economists criticize this rate, to them it seems that not seems to be impossible to reach 5.5%. But the government has its own argument, and the Status of Agency has also given us some evidence and the methodology to calculate the economic growth in the second quarter. So I see that actually, despite that the global uncertainty increases and also economic challenges become more, difficult, etc. But I see that at this moment, the Prabowo's administration is able to maintain the level of economic growth. Yeah, and to me, I think until the end of this year, they still be able to maintain the growth rate at plus minus 5.1%, 5 to 5.1%. That's according to our projections. It is because we have observed for the past month there was a breakthrough in the policy of the Minister of Finance to stimulate the economy by utilizing the fund that was saved in the bank individual account, the budget surplus around 200 trillion rupiah. So the challenges are how these state-owned banks are able to distribute the fund to inject the economy. So this is, the challenge, because what I have observed, what has been done by these state-owned banks, to me, I don't know, from the perspective of the Minister of Finance, but to me, it seems that they are not performing according to our expectation. Yeah, so our suggestion is that given this by the surplus that has been allocated to them, 200 trillion, so I suggest to, if they are not able to directly allocate the fund to the real sector of the economy, better for them to conduct a kind of channeling by including regional development bank, or BPD, or Islamic Rural Bank, or BPRS, because they are dealing with directly with especially the small and medium enterprises scale. Yeah, for example, in the Islamic World Bank, now we have around 178. Yeah, if you allocate 10 billion each, for example, then it is only taking less than 2 trillion. Yeah, even less than 1% of the allocated fund. But they are dealing with more than 1 million small and medium enterprises. So you can imagine, by giving 1% of the fund to the Islamic World banks, we are expecting that there will be something different. More than 1 million SMEs will be injected the fund. this will, of course, stimulate economy at the ground, economy at the bottom level. And President Prabowo, I think he also, you know, obsessed with his ambition to elevate the level of this MSME, yeah, micro, small and medium enterprises, yeah, to get the higher rank, higher status. And by injecting them with this allocated fund, I believe this can stimulate economy to grow further. Similarly, if we channel the fund also to regional development bank, yeah, from this state-owned bank, I'm predicting also there will be some, you know, impact towards stimulating the regional development at provincial as well as at municipal or agency or city level. Yeah, this will be great if these state-owned banks can do that. And so the problem of liquidity, the problem of lack of financing, yeah, can be solved. Yeah. I think this is the best way. Rather than these state-owned banks do it by themselves. Of course, there must be some bigger portion of the fund must be allocated by themselves. But at least certain percentage, maybe less than 20% of the allocated fund, this must be channeled through regional development bank as well as through rural banks in order to give, you know, higher impact to the economy so that the economy can grow up. Even it may exceed the projection, it may be reaching 6% by next year if you can give more allocation towards these micro and small and medium enterprises.
Okay, so we also have discussed about the challenges, but what about the achievement that has been seen by you, sir? Is there any significant achievement in the administration of our president regarding the economy that might be people miss about it?
Yeah, actually, some breakthrough like free meals program, etc. Of course, the short-term impact may be still limited, the short-term impact. But in the long term, if the government is able, yeah, to manage in a better way, yeah, and to ensure that no problem in terms of the quality of the food, the safety of the food, yeah, no poison is found, for example, so maybe it may stimulate the economy to grow further, because the concept is good that the government wants to increase the local economic situation by utilizing the local resources, but it still needs some time, you know, to see the impact. But what I see also another impact, which is to me is very good and promising, is that the anti-corruption policy that has been implemented by the government through the active role played by our Attorney General. I think it gives, you know, more hope to us that the government is taking seriously the problem of corruption that become one of the, you know, factors that may affect badly the economy. So we are expecting that if this trend of law enforcement continues, then I think the economy may even exceed the 6%, yeah, in the next year. Yeah, of course, a lot of things need to be done. And also, the government should manage, yeah, some strategic sectors, especially with regard to energy and mining. Yeah, this require more attention from the President Prabowo, so that some strategic sectors can give more impact, yeah, towards our economy. But so far, for the past 1 year, we are very satisfied. At least I'm satisfied with the current equipment, although we have some weaknesses here and there in some sectors, but the trend is good. So the challenge is how the president and his administration is able to maintain the situation and even moving forward and provide more positive economic shock. Yeah, appointment of finance minister, we have to acknowledge that it creates some shock, yeah, towards the situation of our country's economic condition. So I think if the Minister of Finance is able to prove everything he said, this will give, you know, good hope to the people, and we are convinced that we are on the right direction. And the other thing, which is also important but still lack of attention, is related with the halal industry. Yeah, currently the president's team responsible for managing halal industry seems not to have or to show a good performance. Yeah, because halal industry now is growing rapidly, globally speaking, and the growth at the global level reached 10 until 15%, like in the food and beverages, halal food and beverages industry. But it seems that the roadmap to achieve this halal industry is still not that optimum. So I suggest President Prabowo to extend the current National Islamic Economy and Finance Committee to become an agency or badan, yeah, that has more power to supervise the halal industry sector and to further increase the ecosystem of halal industry, so that we can grab the global potential, so that it will give more benefit towards our economy. If this can be done, I think the impact will be excellent. This also includes Islamic social finance comprising zakat and wakaf. The potential are still huge, and we hope that the President Prabowo also gives more attention towards this sector. So I think by combining this, I'm convinced, yeah, the economic growth in the coming year will be better than current situation.
Okay, sir, we got what we needed. Thank you very much for your time, Pak Irfan.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you.
All right, listener, that is the Dean of Economy and Management Faculty of IPB University, Pak Irfan Syawkibaik, and I'd like to make a little bit summary of our talk. It seems that the government in the last 1 year in terms of economy has made a lot of breakthroughs, and the development is on the right path, and yet there are still challenges, room for improvements, and also many untapped potentials. But Indonesia is, I should say, Pak Irfan is optimistic that Indonesia can get or even surpass the target itself. While a listener, you can listen again to this VOI talk on our YouTube channel, VOI Official.
Gelombang semesta, kita Indonesia sesungguhnya lanjut aspirasi bangsa. Kita Indonesia sesungguhnya kita hadir bagi dunia. Kita Indonesia. Kaya budaya alam khatulistiwa, kita kabarkan berita membuka cakrawala. Sama bertahun tunda di dalam bangsa semesta, kita Indonesia sesungguhnya langit aspirasi bangsa. Indonesia. Sesungguhnya langit aspirasi bangsa. Kita Indonesia.
Indonesia.
Sesungguhnya kita sesungguhnya.
Voice of Indonesia.
Dan ayat-ayat yang kau baca tak kurasa berbeda. Kita bebas untuk percaya semua yang kau puja. Dan ayat-ayat yang kau baca tak kurasa berbeda. Kita bebas untuk percaya semua yang kau puja. Dan
talking about the one-year administration of President Prabowo Subianto and Vice President Gibran Raka Buming Raka. We know that Indonesian government now is trying to accelerate, also strengthening the free nutritious meal program, which is a very new one in our country. And according to President Prabowo Subianto, this program has inspired more than 100 countries, with most of the 112 nations adopting Indonesia's model for their school meal initiatives. And it was stated by the president in Jakarta on Saturday. And he also said that the program, which was launched in January, has drawn attention from global institutions focused on food security, poverty reduction, and health. And he also said that a week ago, he received a delegation from the Rockefeller Institute, which has worked for 100 years in food anti-hunger and anti-poverty programs. And it's now quoted from antaranews.com. The MBK, or the Free Nutritious Meal Program, integrates nutrition, education, and local economic empowerment. It is aiming not only to improve students' health, but also support local farmers, fishers, livestock producers, and also local businesses.
Ribuan hari aku menunggumu, jutaan lagu tercipta untukmu. Apakah kau akan terus begini? Masih adakah celah di hatimu yang masih bisa kutuk singgahi? Cobalah aku kapan engkau mau.
Jaya di lautan para milenium.
Those who are victorious at the sea is
In the first millennium were the Indonesian people, the Malays, none of Chinese who sailed. It was only after South could no longer access the Silk Road by land that they looked for trade routes by sea. That was in the 11th or 12th century. Before that, no, there weren't Chinese who sailed. Aren't you afraid of 8 to 9 meter waves? He said that to me. I said that in Indonesia, I've never seen waves of 9 meters. I want to see it. And he immediately shook hands with me. That's it, sir. That's it.
Kalau istilah PVC itu sepertinya muncul pada abad ke-19, sekitarnya tahun 1830-an,
40-an. It around the 19th century in around 1830 to 40, and it refers to a type of sail that actually comes from Europe, which imitates the international term schooner catch or calf catch, which means a sail that is installed in the direction of the bow of the boat. It seems that these sails were first used in the western regions of the archipelago, such as the Riau, Belitung, etc. Until the end of the 19th century, this type of sail was increasingly used towards the east. So the sail also arrived in Sulawesi, and here the sail was changed, which we know now as the Finnish sail.
Jenis layar itu makin banyak digunakan, makin ke arah timur, sehingga akhirnya ide layarnya itu juga tiba di Sulawesi. Dan di sini pun layarnya diubah sedemikian rupa sehingga menjadi yang kita sekarang mengenali sebagai layar penisi.
Indonesian people are challenged to become more resilient in facing life at sea. One of the communities that is able to run a shipping system and build ships is the Bulukumba community. However, the term Finisi became known in the 1950s.
Istilah Finisi itu secara umum baru muncul dalam cetakan, koran, dan sebagainya pada tahun.
The term Finisi generally only appeared in printing like newspapers and so on in the early 50s of the 20th century. In 1960, the administration of the first Indonesian president Soekarno held a competition for boats to carry copra from Sulawesi to Jakarta. And in the newspaper, the question still arose about what Finisi boat is, because the term Finisi was not yet known to people at that time. Because in the fact, in the records of harbor master and so on, boats like that were still called palari. There was palari Solompong, there was palari Tongkong. The term Finisi started being known in the 80s, especially after the Finisi was brought to Vancouver. And there, the boats which were previously called palari were then called Finisi. So the term Finisi, which now we really take pride in, is actually a creation after the Finisi no longer existed.
Terutama setelah ada Finisi Nusantara yang dibawa ke Vancouver, dan di situ, di Singapura misalnya, perahu-perahu yang sebelumnya dinamakan palari itu mulai dinamakan Finisi. Jadi istilah Finisi yang sekarang ini begitu dibanggakan sebenarnya sesuatu ciptaan setelah yang namanya Finisi itu sudah tidak ada lagi. Ini ingatan masyarakat tidak terlalu tepat. Ada cerita bahwa perahu yang seperti itu yang pertama kali dibangun di
Asia. People's memory are not very accurate, and there are stories that the first such boat in Ara was in 1900, but no one remembers who built it, for whom, and so on. And until World War II, in the Dutch newspaper and the Harbor Master reports and so on, all projects like they were recorded as palari. So the use of the word Finisi is something new, something that hasn't been around for too long, but with the motorization and Indonesian sailing boats, all of that disappeared in the 70s. This is a memory that people are quite proud of. When Finisi Nusantara was brought to Vancouver, and more travel companies from from abroad ordered boats like that. The term Spinisi was brought back as a proud memory of boat builders and sailors from the Archipelago. The use of the word Spinisi to generalize all types of boats is actually a deflation of Indonesia's boat manufacturing wealth, because in Indonesia there are hundreds of types of boats and they all have their own names.
Istilah Pinisi itu diangkat kembali sebagai suatu ya ingatan kebanggaan pembuat perahu dan pelayar dari Bontot Bahari itu. Penggunaan kata Pinisi untuk memukul rata semua jenis perahu itu sebenarnya suatu suatu deflasi kekayaan pembuatan perahu Indonesia, karena di Indonesia ada ratusan jenis perahu yang semua punya nama tersendiri.
Pinisi became known worldwide since its first expedition to Vancouver, Canada in 1986, where one of the crew members is still sailing today.
Mungkin dari awal, saya waktu itu yang saya cerita tadi, 85 dari tim.
At that time, from the start, I remember it was in 85 when my team entered Kalangan, and then I said I wanted to come to Canada. I hadn't applied yet. Finally, after a long time, Mr. Felipe, a Frenchman who was watching us as a witness to who accepted the people, I said that you're going home, right? And at that time, many of others didn't come. I went first. So then he said, do you want to come to Canada? And I said, yes, sir. If you still meet more people. Then he said, you're not afraid of waves 8 to 9 meters, he said, the same to me. Then I said, in Indonesia, I've never seen 9 meters wave. I wanted to see it. We immediately shook hands, so it was a deal. At that time, I was on the machine and also on the sail. There were also four people from Tanah Biru also come with me. I asked to this navy man, how many meters are the waves? Oh, this is only 7 meters. How is the 10 meters one like? I said. Relying on two masts and seven developed sails called Pinisi, the wind has been the main force for Indonesian sailors since the 12th century to sail to their destination. If we sail, we just play with the sails according to the wind. Maybe there will be a change in the wind for several hours, like here yesterday. Sailing without wind for 2 hours could take one day because of the wind. Well, if you use an engine, you can calculate the speed and at what time we will arrive. Well, if we just play with the sails, we cannot predict when we will arrive.
Kapal Pinisi di Banyuwangi ini asalnya dari Arab, dulu pun Mbak, Sulawesi Selatan.
The Pinisi ship was built originally from Arabulukumba, South Sulawesi. Starting from the year before independence in 1945, after independence, it already existed before. From generation to generation, we have been able to make this ship without any finished drawings. It has been passed down from our ancestors until now. We do it without any technical knowledge. It is just based on experience and it is recognized throughout the world.
Tanpa ada bilang teknik bagaimana, dan di segi pengalaman saja, nah, diakui oleh seluruh dunia. Kalau dengan pinisinya 1 tahun lebih. Tapi kali ini kami bikin di pantai dia ke pantai Anjungan.
With the Pinisi, it took more than a year, but this time we make it on the Losari Beach. It is the fastest one because in just 2.5 months. Has been like this with 2 units with 25 people working. Yes, iron wood, BT wood, and teak wood. It only needs 3 types of wood. In terms of its strength, in the sea you can make just any kinds of wood. I used to have furniture made from Bhiti wood, but the scarcity of Bhiti wood forced me to use it only for the ship rooms. Now I cannot do it anymore. The deck is made of teak wood.
Sekarang tidak bisa lagi karena sudah berkurang pisang untuk pakai tulang. Deknya ini kayu jati. Apalagi Nas, papang kue papangnya disusun ke satu-satu. Sampai
tadi the shoots, the planks are arranged one by one. Then they go up here. After the body is finished, then the tusks are installed. Once the tusks are installed, the road is installed, the bottom is then the gutter, then the floor, then the room. The room has all the walls and partitions made. After this, it has been put on the hub. This is lowered, then the mast is made. The mast is then put on the post. The mast rope, then the sail is put on. That's it.
Tali apa? Tali sering. Tali tian. Nampak buatan. Baru pasang layarnya. Begitu.
The system and calculation for making finishing sailing ships have been known to people of Ara village Bulukumba since 19th century. However, according to a research conducted by German historian Horst Lippner, only 12 Limo-Limo people knew the shipbuilding system. The system is named Tatatalu.
Itu dari rumusnya begini. Kita ini ahli.
That's the formula. So this is how we are ships experts. One detail rupi. The important thing is that we know the length, width, and height, that this is 6 meters, the length is 30 meters, the height is 3 meters. They keep installing it, and then it will be right when it hits 6 meters. Indeed, we already have experience in that aspect, without saying that it is balanced. It is already balanced because it is our technique, our experience, so that it is precise up to 6 meters without any writing about semi or so. Each one works, each one is an expert.
Ada satu hal dan itu intinya dari warisan dunianya itu, yaitu
there is one thing that is essence of world heritage, namely what we can call a formula for making it. Many people say that boats are made without drawings and so on, and that is actually not true. There is a formula that is not made into a drawing but made into various sizes which are recorded above the gorge. There are various bangli that are used with signs that determine the measurements, for example, the location of the pegs in the hull, the length of the planks, the location of the frame, and so on. Those who will still inherit this knowledge today are the descendants of the Limo-Limo people. It seems to have a formula called Tatatalu, which can produce boats up to 14 meter long. PLM boats or whatever boats were called Pinisi in the 70s were much bigger. So there is an impression that the Arab people at some point in 1930s to 1950s created a new manufacturing formula called Tata Apa, which could produce larger boats.
Jadi ada kesan bahwa orang Arab pada suatu saat tahun 1930-an sampai 50-an menciptakan satu rumus pembuatan yang baru yang dinamakan Tata Apa dan bisa menghasilkan perahu yang lebih besar. Membangun suatu perahu itu adalah suatu hal yang sangat-sangat rumit. Secara populer, perahu layar itu diakui sebagai
building a boat is very, very complicated things. Popularly, the sailboat is recognized as the most complicated human creation that has existed before the Industrial Revolution in the 18th century. This means that throughout human history, nothing more complicated has been built than a sailboat. If we compare the parts of number of objects in this boat, whatever there is, as far as I know, is 100 times more than a sailboat. And they all have to function the same as sailboat. If you install one small part wrongly. The self-formed work is the same as if boat is installed incorrectly. One small part of the boat will not sail. And there is another point there. Boat is not something rectangular, but it created through a curve. The curve must be harmonious. If the curve is crooked, the boat will not sail. Maybe someone remembers in high school we are taught how to calculate the curve F from X, which is the most complicated, right? Maybe those who have gone through it have all said, well, this is very difficult, but the boat can only function if the curve is harmonious. The curve can be calculated in that way. So the knowledge to create curves has been going on in the archaeology for 1,000 years. And the way of conceptualizing curves is not much different from shipwrecks from the 10th century to boats built in the mid-20th century. These things are very complicated, so they are not for public consumption because they are too complicated. But in order to deepen them and make them something to be proud of, things like that should be made more public, put forward more to the general public so that they are not reduced to only PNC.
Cara dan mengkonsepkan kurva-kurva itu tidak jauh berbeda dari kapal-kapal karam yang dari abad ke-10 dengan perahu-perahu yang dibangun pada pertengahan abad ke-20. Dan hal-hal itu amat-amat rumit, sehingga bukan menjadi ini barang konsumsi halayak, wah memang terlalu rumit. Tetapi untuk apa ya, memperdalamnya dan menjadikannya sesuatu yang bisa dibanggakan. Hal-hal seperti itu semestinya memang lebih diumumkan, lebih di kedepankan kepada khalayak ramai, supaya itu tidak direduksi atas PNC doang. Thank you.
Today's music corner presents a traditional song from South Sulawesi entitled Wulele Sanggula. The song was composed by H.M. Sanip. It is typical of Tolaki, South Sulawesi's largest ethnic group who inhabits Kendari City and Kolaka Regency. The song lyrics use Tolaki language, which means Sanggula flower, the name of a flower in Konawe region and its surroundings. The lyrics contain a folklore about an angel who descended from heaven. The angel is described as very beautiful, always glorified by the Tolaki people. Well, listener, here is the song Wulele Sanggula by Sarah and Nita. Enjoy!
Yeah.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.